the record in John 11 of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Particularly his words to Lazarus' sister, "I am the resurrection and the life. In John 11 and verse 24, those words, "He will rise in the resurrection at the last day," and then verse 25, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. No one else. There is no resurrection except through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ." Even the resurrection at the last day, when some will be raised, a great number will be raised, to eternal hell and to final judgment, but even that is under the direction of Christ. But we're thinking here of the resurrection to eternal life, where there is no sin or sorrow or sighing. And this event in which Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead was just a little while before Jesus died himself and was himself raised from the dead. So we see here that before he died, he's showing men and women that there is life after death, and that he has the absolute control of it, and that when it comes to his dying, he will have the control of that too, and the Father will raise him from the dead by prior agreement in heaven beforehand. Now, if you were to read all the 57 verses of John 11 through again sometime, and look for the word belief, or believing, or may believe, it will strike you forcibly that this chapter is about bringing people to believe in the Lord Jesus. The disciples, they're mentioned. Mary and Martha, they're mentioned. The Jews who came to comfort them, they're mentioned. And other Jews as well. All are mentioned with the idea that what Jesus was about to do in raising Lazarus from the dead was so that all sorts of people would believe in him, or if you like, would trust him. Not in theory only, but trust him with their own bodies. Trust him with their own lives. Know that they've come to him and sought mercy and pardon, and that when their turn comes to die, the Lord Jesus will raise them from the dead. Now you know that the resurrection from the dead is in two parts. Death is the actual separating of our souls from our body. Animals don't have souls, so it doesn't happen to them. But mankind alone has a soul. And death is actually the separating of the soul from the body. And when the soul leaves the body dies. And then when the Lord Jesus returns, whenever that is, and nobody knows when that will be, he will also raise our bodies again and join them with our souls, which have never died. We'll always be conscious after death. And then we shall be forever with the Lord. Now, one of those important aspects is taken up here in John 11. And that is, when we're buried, and when the Lord Jesus comes and raises our body from the dead. Some people have been dead thousands of years already. But we see from his raising of Lazarus, even though he had begun to decay, that Jesus is well able to do that, and that presents no problem to him at all. So we leave our bodies, because we trust by faith that he has saved our souls. And if he hasn't done that, we must come to him and beseech him that we may know. And then we can leave our bodies safely in his care. Now, just very rapidly, we'll work through the story of Lazarus, picking up some of the details, just so that we may understand that all this was done so that people might believe. And of course, this is written long after that we might believe. It's the whole idea of the scripture. That we might believe. John says in his gospel, these things are written that ye might believe. Well, Lazarus took suddenly sick and died. It's always sad when somebody who was well one minute is seriously ill 24 hours later and dies 24 hours after that. So sudden. Unexpected, from nowhere. And the sisters sent a message to Jesus, who was quite a little way away. And they simply said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And they thought that he would come straight away and prevent him dying. And that was what some of the Jews later also said. Couldn't this man, who's able to give sight to the blind, have caused that even this man shouldn't have died? But Jesus had something better in mind. So Jesus stays where he is when he gets the message. He stays there for 2 more days. And he says that this sickness is not unto death. He did die, but he wasn't going to stay dead. But the whole idea even of that sickness was for the glory of God, that the power of Jesus Christ might be shown even by Lazarus being taken ill and dying. So he stayed 2 days there. And then there's this funny scene, really. Jesus says to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. They say, no fear. You remember what happened when we were leaving? They threw stones at you to try and kill you. You go back there. That's one thing they said. So Jesus says, it'll be all right. And then he says, I'm going to wake Lazarus, our friend, out of sleep. He was the friend of them all. And they said, oh, very well, he's asleep. That'll do him good. Nice to sleep. Wake up refreshed in the morning. Excellent. Jesus says, no. He's dead. Oh. We thought you meant he was taking rest in sleep. We didn't realize you meant he was dead. Jesus says, but I was glad for your sake that I wasn't there, because he knew he was going to raise him from the dead and it would help the disciples to believe in him. Thomas, who always got hold of the wrong end of the stick, or very often did, said, come on, we will all go back. I expect they'll put Jesus to death and we'll all die with him. Won't that be nice? We'll all be martyrs. That's his comment. Anyway, they go. When they get back, not only had Jesus not come to make him better, but Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days already. Many of the Jews had come out the couple of miles to comfort Martha and Mary. They'd come from Jerusalem. But when Martha heard that Jesus was arriving, he actually hadn't got into the village, but when Martha heard, she's always the one who was up and doing, she ran out to meet him. Mary stayed put. But it's remarkable, they must have talked together, I suppose, that when each of them meets Jesus in turn, they both say exactly the same thing to him. Martha greets Jesus. Is it a reproach? Lord, I mean, it's the first word she says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Wonderful compliment. Or is it a gentle rebuke? She believes that he would have made him better. But why did he delay so long? And then she says a remarkable thing, and I have no idea what she meant. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. When you read that, it seems as if she was expecting Lazarus to come to life again, doesn't it? Doesn't seem to admit of any other understanding. And yet from what follows, it clearly doesn't seem to be what she had in mind. So shall we say, and it's purely guess, that she was muddled. She trusted Jesus. She wanted to believe he could do something even now at this late stage. But she really didn't draw the line at the idea of being raised from the dead. But what did she mean? She was just plain muddled, confused, as we would say. Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again. Wonderful, you'd think. Oh, I know, I know. Ah, I've said to you before, you know, you hate it when children say that. You want to teach them something, and they say, I know, I know. And they don't know. They don't know. They've got an idea, but they don't know. You could teach them something. I know, I know. So Jesus says to Martha, who's not a child, of course, my brother shall rise again. She says, I know, but she doesn't know. I know that he will rise again at the resurrection of the last day, but Jesus is not talking about resurrection at the last day. He's talking about today. And while he does have authority over those who will be raised at the last day, there's something much more important. And that is the being raised into newness of life through faith in him. But as an evidence of the newness of life that he will raise the dead soul into, he's going to raise the dead body of Lazarus into newness of ordinary life. And is also going to be an emblem of his own resurrection. So Martha says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, no, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Wonderful words. Resurrection is vested in Jesus. Life is vested in Jesus. Physical, spiritual. If he hadn't given physical life, none of us would be alive. And if he didn't cause men and women to be born again when they're dead in trespasses and sins, nobody would inherit everlasting life. Jesus says, I, no other prophet, no other religion, no other politician, no general, no great man. I, the only one in all the universe of the millions who've ever lived. I am the resurrection and the life. What a wonderful thing. That a Mary and a Martha and a Lazarus and 12 disciples and a few others should actually know that one man on whom everything turns when millions don't. What a wonderful thing it is that Christians should know the one Saviour on whom everything turns when millions don't. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, interesting. He's going to prove it, but he's not going to prove it until Martha has had faith. Till Martha has believed it beforehand. Now, people sometimes say, you show me the evidence and I'll believe. But always the way of Christ is to say, you believe first and I'll prove it. Very important. So that's what he's going to do with Martha. And first of all, he gives these wonderful words that I often preach at in funeral services because they are so marvellous. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now there's Lazarus. He's dead. He that believeth in me, as he did and does, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Take a funeral service. And if it's a believer in the Lord Jesus whose body is being interred, then we know that the soul is already in heaven and that body will be raised when the Lord Jesus returns to join with that soul. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then there's the others. Whosoever liveth, that's you, you Martha, you Mary, all of us, whosoever liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. We will die. He's talking about the second death. The first death is the death of our bodies. And because of the curse of the earth, all of us will die except those who are alive when Christ returns. Everybody else will die. The second death is the death of being consigned to hell once you're dead. Consigned at the judgment seat to everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That's the second death. No believer in Christ will ever, ever, ever go through that. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me, while he's alive, he believes in me, he'll never die that death. Wonderful words. On Jesus' authority. Because life is at his disposal. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Martha, believest thou this? He wasn't going to let her get away with it. Face to face, one might almost say nose to nose, he says to Martha, do you believe that? Do you believe it? Because all of us have got to actually believe it before we get the benefit. If Jesus knew that he was a fraud, if Jesus knew that he couldn't do what he was claiming, namely raise the dead, because he did it in a minute's time, but if Jesus had known that he couldn't do that, wouldn't it have been a terrible thing in the time of bereavement to say to a friend, trust me? It doesn't bear thinking about. And one of the evidences that Jesus is who he says he is that he fulfills the trust, the faith that people put in him. He will not let us down. So he says, face to face with Martha, do you believe this? Now he had said face to face to a rich young ruler what he must do to inherit eternal life, and the rich young ruler went away because he wanted something different. On this occasion he says to Martha, do you believe me? She says, yes, Lord. I believe you. I believe that you're the Christ. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that whatever you say, the Father will give it you. Yes. I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. I was confused. But if you say so, I believe it. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha said, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. I believe whatever you teach, whatever you say, and whatever you do, that it's right. The conversation was left there. And Mary went to fetch, Martha went to fetch Mary. Mary sat still in the house, lost in her own thoughts. I expect Jesus had said to Martha, she says, the master is calling for you, so I expect Jesus said to Martha, go and get Mary. And when she goes back and says, the master is calling for you, Mary immediately gets up, runs out of the house, followed by the Jews who think she's going to the grave to weep there, but she goes to Jesus where Martha had left him and says exactly the same thing. Her greeting is, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus saw her weeping. Jesus, being full of compassion, sees our tears, our tragic tears, our sad tears, our bereavement tears. And he was greatly moved himself. He was fully human as well as fully God. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus were his friends and his disciples' friends. And he felt for their loss and he felt for the weeping. And so he wept. And the Jews said, behold how he loved him. Now, John, when he writes this gospel, is very sure that we grasp the point that Jesus was not being callous when he waited 2 days and then there was another two before he raised. He wasn't being awkward, he wasn't being callous. It was that the glory greater than preventing him dying, the glory of resurrection, the glory of Christ's resurrection, the glory of Christ being in charge of resurrection that was to be taught. But he did love Lazarus. And he was going to do something that was beyond anything they'd ever seen. Jesus says then, where have you laid him? They say, come and see. So they take Jesus, weeping and groaning, to where Lazarus lay. It was a cave and there was a stone upon it. They rolled away the stone. Martha objects. She says, he's going to smell terrible. By this time, Lord, he stinketh. He's been there 4 days. He's begun to decompose. Now, as I said to you earlier, decomposition is no problem to the Saviour. He can reverse all that. More than reverse all that, if there are things that have changed, if animals have eaten bits and so on, that can all be redone. But at this time we don't enter into those things. Martha merely objects that he'll be decomposing. The Bible actually doesn't say that he was. Certainly it wasn't true of Jesus. You remember how the Lord Jesus Christ was not allowed to decompose in the grave. Jesus said, did I not say to you, Martha, that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Don't worry about it. So then they took away the stone. Didn't know whether to believe Martha, who was saying don't, or Jesus, who was saying do. But they followed what Jesus said. They took away the stone. Jesus prayed. And then he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now I used the words this morning, and they are wonderful words in Scripture. The Lord at creation, this recalls creation, called the things that are not as though they were. The Lord speaks, and even the dead hear. The Lord speaks, an inanimate object hear. Storms, the winds, the stones would cry out. The Lord speaks, and things inanimate or animate obey. And so the Lord speaks, and a dead Lazarus hears. When the voice of the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord returns, the voice of the archangel, the voice of the Saviour, the dead will rise, the bodies will rise. So he says, Lazarus, come forth. And although it's not the same, any of you who have come to believe in Christ will have known in effect a drawing of the Lord Jesus Christ and a calling of your name. Come unto me, all you that weary and heavy laden. You've heard a call, and though you were dead, you heard, you understood, you felt, you saw, you thought, and you knew you must come to Christ, though you were dead in sin. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And this is remarkable. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin, as Jesus would be not all that long afterwards. Makes no difference whatever. He was even able to move. They were a hindrance. Jesus said, get them off him. Discreetly. But nevertheless, it was no barrier to him coming alive again. It was no barrier to his movement. It was no barrier to him approaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And this is the Bible way of telling stories. It's not like the modern media that would go overboard. Virtually ends with loose him and let him go. Except that there's this comment, that many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done, and from that day they began to plan to put Jesus to death. So there are two responses to the Lord Jesus Christ. You either believe or you don't believe. But if you don't believe, you're hostile. There's no negative not believing. They either believed or they went and told the priests who planned to put him to death. Now, see, here is human nature. This is exactly what happened at the death of Christ when it did happen. He does something that no one else can do, and all they want to do is put him to death. We often say of people who shoot people or kill people or even have accidents and cause people's death, that the one of who causes the death isn't worth anything compared with the one whose death they brought about. You get a fully trained doctor, a fully trained someone, and you get this lout who does these things. And this is what's happening here, you see. There was never an equal of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just raised somebody from the dead. How grateful they all were. And what did the religious people want to do? Put him to death and put an end to all that sort of thing. Really? It should caution us as going down that line. It should cause us to think about any partisanship, cause us to think about any bitterness, and only to rejoice in the good thing that Jesus does when he saves people. And when he raises them from the dead. They were afraid, if we let him alone, all men will believe on him. What a wonderful thing that would have been. But this is all about belief. Today we think of the raising from the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that is even more significant, because Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he would die again. In the normal run of things. But Jesus had proved that he was the master, the Lord of resurrection and of life and of death. But Jesus' own resurrection is different again. Because by that resurrection, all who believe in him will be raised from the dead. Wonderful to be forgiven for our sins. That's the first pillar without which there's no salvation. But the other pillar is everlasting life. Being raised from the dead. Living to die no more in Christ who lives to die no more. So on this day, as we think again of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this tremendous assurance. It was there before, in anticipation, in his raising of Lazarus from the dead, that there is life after death. And there is a life supremely better than this, where there's no more suffering, pain, sorrow, tears. But there is life. And that life is all because of the Lord Jesus. And those who believe in the Lord Jesus and whose sins are forgiven in the Lord Jesus and are identified with the Lord Jesus are risen again with the Lord Jesus and will be raised in that last day with him. No death meanwhile, because our souls go to be straight with the Lord when they die. But the bodies will be raised. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? Now, Jesus wasn't looking for intellectual belief. No, he says, do you trust your one and only life? Do you trust your one and only soul on me? That I will forgive you your sins? That I will raise you from the dead? That I will give you everlasting life? Because the whole world divides to those who do believe him and those who don't. Will you be among the saved? Or will you remain among the number of the lost? But Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And all life, all spiritual life too, is from him. Trust him. Amen.